Welcome to What the Nostalgia, the podcast where we go back and review movies from our formative years on up to our late teens. At the end of the podcast, we ask ourselves, were we looking at the content through rose-colored lens, or is it as nostalgic as before? We're your hosts, Jarrell.
And I'm Jamel.
And this is What the Nostalgia. Jamel, go ahead and get it to us, man. What movie we got?
Just ask, man. How you feeling today, man? You know?
Oh, man, I'm feeling all right, bro. I'm feeling pretty good. I mean, my bad. Yeah, I got to ask about you, man. Are you still out there on the road?
Yeah, man, I'm still out here, man. We're trying to, you know, for the audience, we're trying to keep this going for you guys. We got a nice setup. But, yeah, everything's working out. It's pretty good out here, man. But, yeah, man, let's go ahead and get into it. Today, we are doing the movie Scream. This was released December 20th, 1996. It was directed by, in my eyes, I feel like he's like a staple in the horror community, Wes Craven. Uh-huh. I don't know if you had any comments on him or, you know, before I get into the cast.
Not a one.
Go ahead. So you're not a Wes Craven fan at all?
Well, I'm not familiar with all of his movies, man, so I can't really speak on it. I think I know. Did he do the Witch? What was that movie, like 1999? The Witch. Yeah, the Blair Witch Project.
I don't think so. I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't think he did.
Okay, well, that's I can't even. I'm sure he did something that I know of, but I just didn't know that it was him.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, he's feel like he has a pretty nice staple within the horror community, Wes Craven himself. But we'll get into the cast here. We have Neve Campbell as Sydney. We have David Arquette as Deputy Dewey. We have Courtney Cox as Gail Weathers. We have Skeet Ulrich as Billy. We have Drew Barrymore as Casey. Rose McGowan as Tatum. Matthew Lillard as Stewart. Jamie Kennedy as Randy, Henry Winkler as Principal Arthur Hembry, and actually they asked him to be uncredited for this film because I guess they didn't want to take any shine away from the younger actors, so they told him to go uncredited in this. And lastly,
oh, I didn't know that. Was he still high off the Fonzie fave? I guess
I don't know, man. I guess so, man. I guess compared to some of these younger actors, I don't know how famous David Arquette or I guess maybe the most famous actor in this was Drew Barrymore, probably at the time, right?
Yeah, and she got knocked out pretty quick.
Exactly. She got knocked out quick. She was actually supposed to, you know, play the main role, but I guess she turned it down. But yeah, lastly on the cast, I guess Wes Craven pulled a little Tarantino. He was in the film as well as Fred the Janitor. So he had a little cameo himself.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know that was him. All right.
Yeah. Right. I don't know if that's a thing throughout his films, but I know he did it in this one. So
I would do that too. I would, if I was a director, I'd give myself one little bit part, just the smallest, you know, just I'm filling up your gas tank. Or something, right. You know, gas, yeah, attendant or elevator attendant, something. I put myself in there in every film, too.
Get you some acting chops off a little bit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I feel you, man. Well, when we get into the box office numbers, man, this movie did pretty well, man, 1996. It pulled in $173 million off of a $14 million budget. So they made a pretty good profit, man, off this film.
You said how much?
They made $173
million. Oh, man. Okay, yeah. They came out big.
Yeah, it was a this movie, man, it kind of... Well, a lot of people say, regardless of how good or bad the film really is to the viewer, a lot of people say this came at a time when the horror genre was kind of dead, you know? It was just like a different take, I guess, in a way.
Yeah. Yeah, man. As far as the horror film, man, you know, I'm not that big of a horror genre fan.
Mm-hmm.
First off, I don't even know if this is a horror. Is this in the horror genre? This is more like a slasher. Is that like two different genres? in itself?
I don't think so, man.
You think that
when I looked it up, I believe they put it in the category.
You think they're all in there? Like, you think when I think of horror, man, I'm thinking of these some type of monster film. Yeah, I'm thinking of some type of possession. I'm thinking of something that's gonna come out that I would be scared to see in real life. I mean, I guess I would be scared to see Ghostface, actual killer in real life, but yeah, I don't know. I never really took a slasher film to be in that genre, but I guess it is.
Well, maybe, I mean, maybe it's just better to look at it like in horror, but horror as different segments of horror, I guess. Like you said, the slasher genre,
true.
Possession genre, you know, stuff like that. But for me, majority of horror is the same. I mean, majority of it, you know, when it comes to the type of killer, you know what I'm saying, that you're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are just more, I guess, mythical than others. Like Scream, this killer is more realistic, you know what I mean, versus like Michael Myers, who dies 50 times and comes back to life, you know what I mean?
I get you. Yeah, it definitely was a little more realistic. I'll say that. It will go into that level a little bit, but yeah.
Yes, sir. Well, shoot, man. Let's get into the initial thoughts, man. What was your initial thoughts of? I don't even know when's the last time you've seen this movie. I feel like I've seen it within the last 10 years, maybe, or probably earlier than that, to be honest with you, but I feel like I've seen it more recently than you probably, so I'm interested to see what your initial thoughts are.
Nah, man, I've seen this movie within the last, I don't know, maybe 2 years, and okay. I don't like it. I did not like it at all. I'm trying to compare it with slasher films. The mm-hmm. the greats that are out there, you know, you got your Freddy, your Nightmares on Elm Street, you got your Halloween, what's another slasher? Those are the main two.
Friday the 13th,
Jason. Yeah, I always confuse Jason with Michael Myers. Like a lot of times they like the same person.
They probably are the two that get lumped up together the most. I mean. Yeah. Even though they did make the Freddy versus Jason, I mean, that was kind of, I don't know, I guess that fits too as well.
Mm-hmm. But as far as a slasher film, I had a lot of problems in this movie, man. I got a lot of problems. I called you up and I told you, man, I just got a lot of, I feel like it's nothing but questions for me about this film, man. I was very... I didn't feel good about watching this film. I didn't feel good about it.
Left a bad taste in your mouth,
it
man.
Did, man. It really did. What you thought, man. Though?
Well, for me, man, I mean, I thought I might have seen it more recently than you, but I guess probably not. But I remember when I first watched these movies, because I've seen all of them. I mean, I think it's like four or five. I can't remember, but I've seen all of them, man. For some reason, like, this type of genre, even though it's cheesy in a way, and mm-hmm. it's a cheesy take on horror, to me, I find enjoyment in it a little bit. So the movie is bad, I won't lie. The movie is bad, but it still left some nostalgia for me. So I was able to stick it out and kind of, you know, get a little bit of something out of it just from that, in a way.
Okay, I got you on that.
Yep. So, yeah, man, let's, you ready to get into this review, man?
Let's do it, man.
Let's dig into it, man.
I'm ready to dissect this film. Let's go.
Okay. All right. So, let's get into the opening scene, man. Let's talk about the call, man.
Okay.
For me, I was going to ask you knowing how you feel about this movie, I kind of know what you're probably going to say, but how iconic do you rate that, like, just the call scene, you know what I mean? Because to me, I feel like it had a big impact on other films from there on out.
The call, Okay, I'll give its credit on that. I will give the movie the credit on the call, because it is like a, that's a creepy thing, you know. She's talking, and I don't know why she was just carrying on this conversation with him, like early on. But he was pushing, and the voice that he had, it was kind of a creepy voice and everything. But I'll rate the call up there, man. That was it set the tone for the movie. And when he mistakenly told her he wanted to know who he was looking at,
you know,
that would make anybody kind of have chills if they just sitting there chilling, talking to somebody.
That takes it to a different level, because it was almost like at first he was spitting game to her. You know, she was kind of feeding into it a little bit. But then once he said that, that's when things kind of took a little turn.
Yeah, and then he tried to, you know, try to peel back and say, "Nah, I just wanted to know who I was talking to," or whatever.
Right.
But you know, she already knew what was up.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'll rate that up there. But there's a lot that's going on in this early portion of the movie, bruh.
It is. It really is.
First off, I feel like I wonder, did Saw, the makers of Saw, kind of get their idea from that conversation? Because I think he says early on in that call, like, "I want to play a game," or something like that.
I had the same exact note.
I was like, I wonder, did they kind of go off on that?
But you see, that's why I was saying, like, the iconic measures of this scene, because not only I feel like Saul kind of took it from that, but I mean, spoiler alert, but you know, the impact was Scary Movie, you know, taking it from that, you know, it's just, and other movies as well along the years, you know, I feel like they kind of took from that, you know, in a more serious way, but they took from that.
Yeah, definitely did. But again, man, delving into everything that was happening in this early film, I mean, in the beginning of this film, with her being home alone, I gotta throw this out there. Like, the amount of stuff that he was able to do, the amount of things that he was able to get done without being seen is just like, okay. And you know, we kind of learn, you know, we'll save that for later. We kind of find out why. But early on, that's my thought process watching this. How is he able to do this? Because he winds up getting her boyfriend, like, tied up in a chair. And it didn't look like, I felt like, didn't she go outside already and, like, nobody was there? So
I don't think she did. I think that was you're thinking about a different scene.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You're right about that. But still, it was rubbing me the wrong way, the way this guy is just somewhere. Where does he pop out of early on when he first comes at her? He's at the house, right? He's in the house.
Yeah, I think before he even.
No. He threw that chair through that window.
Yeah. But I think the first thing he does, like, he asked her the want to play a game question, and then she gets something wrong, and I believe he kills the boyfriend.
Yeah. He winds up killing her.
Dang. Like you say, he throws the chair through the glass, and that's how he ends up getting in the house.
But we got to delve into the questions that he was asking her, because that's really like a big portion of the film. Because this film is almost like it kind of, I don't know if you describe it as satire or whatever, but I feel like it was kind of parodying itself.
In some ways, definitely.
In the genre, because he's asking her questions about horror movies. So it's kind of like, you know, kind of meta.
They do a lot of, like, in the dialogue throughout, even with the teens talking, they kind of reference older horror films.
Yeah.
You know, and even later in the film, I don't think we had this on the table to talk about, but so I'll go ahead and say it. But in the film, Sydney, when she's on the phone with him, is like giving a layout of a horror film, like a teen horror film. She's like, oh, so you're gonna I can't remember exactly what she said, but she was basically giving you the layout of what happens in these films, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're gonna, you know, something along the lines of, oh, you're gonna bust out a closet now, and you know, yeah. Given the prototype of what it is.
Right.
So again, that's why I don't know what line to really walk on this movie on how to feel, because again, it was like parodying itself, the genre itself. But that being said, I still was rubbed the wrong way. So, you know. But
I feel.
So still going on. He winds up throwing a throwing a chair through the window. And I forget where he pops out of, but yeah, he's attacking her now. And this kind of goes into what I feel, man, on my deserve to die list in a movie.
Okay. Yeah, I was interested to hear this, man, because you was kind of, you brought this up.
There's just certain things that will take me out of a movie, and that's why I feel this way about this right now, that I don't even root for you anymore to escape to in any way. Like, it could be anybody. Like, if characters start doing dumb stuff, I no longer care about this character. I'm like, hey, you know, kill her, you know, kill him, whatever, get him out the way.
And that's crazy you say that, though, because it is kind of a niche within horror films. Like, whether it's a parody horror, whether it's a serious horror, you can always find that one or two characters that make those, I guess, those dumb mistakes that it's like, man, why did you do that? Like, you're asking to be killed, pretty much.
Oh, there's characters making all kinds of decisions in this movie that I question. But I just wanted to get on her because he winds up stabbing her. You know, as her parents are going home, she's running out the house, and she notices her parents come home. Now, this is number one on the deserve to die list for me. If you stop, if you running away from imminent death and you stop for any reason, you deserve to die, as far as I'm concerned. Like, I'm no longer rooting for you. You deserve to get killed. So, I mean, I don't care if you a woman or not. You need to be out there sprinting to your parents, to the woods, wherever. You need to be in a full Usain Bolt sprint. So yeah, for her to stop,
life or death.
There was comedy in this movie to me as well, because when she stopped and looked, then my man the Ghostface jumps out the window and like tackles her, and I was like, my man is doing a whole lot. Like, he, I don't know if he like I guess they mad athletic in this movie, because he was doing a lot, man.
Yeah, he was.
But yeah. So yeah, he jumps at her. Now that causes him to, you know, like I said, he's caught up to her. He gets the stab in. I think he winds up cutting her in the throat. She's running still. The parents, they're going to the front door. She's trying to come around. I guess he cut her vocal cords or whatever.
Yeah.
So
she wasn't able to talk.
Yeah, like, she wasn't able to talk. But my problem was, you got the phone in your hand. Throw the phone at the house or something that makes some noise. Like, she was real connected to this phone, and I wanted to get on that, because even when the parents go back in, go into the house, they just miss her, which is crazy. They just miss her. So she still got the phone in her hand, and now it's at a point where he's like dragging her. Mm-hmm. And you see that she still got the phone in her hand. And I'm like, yo, I'm like, man, she was really attached to this phone. Like, at some point,
even the parents like heard her wheezing on the other end. Like,
yeah. They pick up the phone. Exactly. And they basically hear her getting killed. And then something slaps at the phone. I'm like, did he whip the phone to make it I don't know, but.
No, they gotta, the movies, man, they gotta have them horror hangups, man.
I had a problem with her hanging onto the phone the amount of time that she did. She could have did something to get away. And I just felt like she deserved to die at this part.
Yeah. I mean, I understand where you're coming from with it, you know. It definitely was some errors to that. I mean, that just shows you, like, in real life situations, well, it's a movie, but I mean, I feel like in real life situations, you got to do everything you can possible to survive, to, you know, to get out of that situation. And she definitely had many errors.
Exactly. Do everything you can. Like,
right.
So, yeah, that was just my beef with it, man, early on. I got a couple more beefs, though.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's pretty much the opening of this film, man. Pretty decent opening. It felt, after I rewatched it, to me, it felt kind of long. I think it ended up being 13 minutes, but it just felt long. I don't know why. But yeah, it still had an impact in movie and film. So, mm-hmm. You know, we'll go with that. But we get a little bit into the film, man, and they're back at school. You know, you start to meet some of the kids. You meet the main character, Sydney. You know, everybody's getting back into school. The news breaks out, you know, and it's just, I guess when I was watching this, I was trying to relate it to real life and just imagine, because like I was saying, man, we never really experienced anything like that in real life, like a tragedy that struck and, you know, we had to go back to school. So I was trying to put my mind.
I dealt with it before when I was in like elementary. We had a child. I mean, he wasn't killed, but yeah, we had a classmate. Might have been in middle school. Might have been sixth grade. Yeah, had a classmate that died, and we all had to come to school, and you know, it was on our mind. I think that was, for a lot of us, that was the first time dealing with a death amongst our peers. So yeah, I dealt with it to a degree. Go ahead.
Yeah, I guess I was looking at it like having a killer on the loose, you know, in your town. You know? 'Cause we live, I mean, majority of our lives, we lived in a small town. So it's, I don't know, it's hard to really imagine that, you know what I'm saying? So for these kids to be back in school, you're starting to see some personalities, and they get into an interrogation. They're interrogating all the kids, trying to see if, you know, anybody was involved or knew anything. And something that threw me off in this scene, bro, like the whole back to school scene, when they pulled Sydney in the office to be interrogated, I felt like this was one of the subtle things they were trying to like misdirect you as far as who the killer might be. Because when the principal kind of did that creepy touching her chin thing and the cop kind of gave him a creepy look,
yeah,
I was like, I wonder, you know, of course this is my third or fourth time seeing this, so I knew who the killer was, but just rewatching it, I was like, you know, maybe that was a small subtle thing they was trying to throw in. It just felt weird to me, that scene.
Well, they throw in a good amount of misdirection in this film on who the killer.
Yeah, we got more on that.
Yeah, they throw in a good amount of misdirection.
Yeah, because even later in the film, you know, the principal was kind of like messing with the mask in the place. So I was like, are they trying to throw the principal in the pool of, is he the killer? No, it's kind of just a creepy scene.
Well, I don't think I ever got, I don't know what I thought. It's difficult to read it, you know, after you've known who it is and you watch it again. But the first time I watched it, I don't think I ever suspected the principal. I don't know.
Yeah, I had a little suspicion on him, just a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. So that's pretty much you know, the setup of that. They're showing you them in school and breaking the news to all the students. And not long after that, we get into the connection of really why Sydney is the main character in this film.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out she's home and she's flipping through the channels. And as she's flipping through, the news is on about the killing that happened. And basically they're letting you know that a year prior to that, her mother had got raped and murdered pretty much on the same day. So that was pretty much the connecting, and I guess a little bit of a reveal, first reveal within the film.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're trying to skate by, you know, they're doing the movie thing where you start to bring up something and then don't talk about it, you know, right. Like, oh, this is the worst killing since, you know, and then, well, you know, you just move on. I was like, yeah. Okay. So, yeah, we do find out that her mother
That also plays a big part in the end, which we'll talk about when we get there. Let's get into this attack on Sydney, man. We kind of fast forward into the film, man, and the killer's still on the loose. And it's a lot, man, that happens within this attack. I guess I'm going to pass it off to you, man, to get your points off on this.
Yeah, it's a lot of more... It's a lot more craziness. Like, the things that... Ghostface is what we calling them, right? Who termed that? Yeah. Like, Ghostface? Yeah. Did they say that in the movie, or did people just start calling them that outside of the
I feel
the
like movie? They said it. I feel like they did say it.
I can't remember.
I don't remember them having an actual name, but I feel like I did hear Ghostface.
You gotta have a name. You gotta have some type of name, something catchy. Yeah. Ghostface, that's fine. But yeah, so he has her number now, and mm-hmm. he's giving her a call, and he's saying all the same things. She's not buying it at first. First off, did she think it was her boyfriend, Billy?
No, I think she thought it was Jamie Kennedy's character, who is Randy. Okay. He played a lot of pranks and was really like in the horror.
Oh, you know what? That makes sense, because when they were hanging out at school at first and talking about the murder, mm-hmm. he was doing some different voices.
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay, so yeah, all right. I thought maybe she was suspecting her boyfriend Billy, but that makes sense that would be that. Which just makes me want to hit on that for a little bit. These kids at the school were just like insane. Like, who would come to school and start talking like that the next day? Yeah, the way they were bringing up the murder, like they were, I mean, and again, you know, as we get further into the movie, we learn why, but I feel like there was characters in this movie that just were like, they didn't have no problem with it. Like, oh yeah, she got gutted. Like, all right. You know that, like, yeah,
they were making jokes.
Like, they was rooting it all. Like, okay, I've been waiting to see a gutting, you know, for some time. I was like, yeah. So that was throwing me off a little bit. But getting back to the attack on Sydney, man. Where does he come out this time? Was that when he was in the closet?
Yeah, I think he was already in the house, because this is the scene where she went outside and checked and nobody was out there. So I think he was already in the house at that time.
Mm-hmm. And again, watching this movie, because I did forget a lot about the film. So watching this, I was like, okay, how is he in the closet talking on the phone? And he's in the closet talking on the phone. She's walking around the house. I was like, how does she not hear him?
Yeah, it is a level of comedy. I could see why it was a parody made off.
Absolutely.
It's definitely comedy.
Like it was the most ripe film for a parody to ever occur.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. So yeah, man. It's a lot happening during that time, but she does better than Drew Barrymore's character, let's say that. You know, mm-hmm. fighting them all.
Well, she's a little bit smarter.
Yeah. She does a lot better than him. She winds up getting upstairs and you know, gets some kind of gets a barrier, you know, he's not able to get in. Mm-hmm. So then I guess she got time to dial 911 on the computer, which was another, I'm not gonna lie, I felt like that was another dumb move with him. I mean, I know you got to call 911, but I would have jumped out the window if the killer is right there. I'm not taking no time to, I'll dial 911 once I get to safety. Okay. Not when the killer is right there, the door is open, and he got the knife, like he's trying to swing closer and closer to you.
Now, what if, let me ask you this, because I don't know, I believe it was like the second floor. Would you risk, like, would you
yes.
not dial the 911 and jump out the window?
Risk yes. 100% yes. I'm diving out the window like one of those Olympic swimmers. Like, I'm going full. Yeah, I'm going full head first. I'm talking about not even thinking about it. I'm diving out there like it's a pool of water out there. And there's another dive scene in this movie that I want to talk about that just reminded me of something. We'll get to that later. But yeah, that's all I'm saying. But speeding it up. After she dials the 911, Ghostface, he leaves.
Yeah, he ends up leaving the door.
And immediately after, her boyfriend, Billy, who had already appeared in the movie already, like, you know, mm-hmm. he appears in her window.
Yeah, yeah.
On some jump scare type stuff. Mm-hmm. And what does he say to her? No, I don't know if it was the second time, because this was the second time I think that he did the jump scare. The first time, this goes back to one of my deserve to die lists. If you ever do something like this, where you scare somebody and you like, oh, it's just me, and you're not joking, you deserve to die. like you being dead serious. Like you gonna abruptly, she was walking to the window. Yeah, this was early, yeah, from the beginning. She was walking to the window, and he literally like makes a sound with his mouth, like ah, or something like that. Like, and Thompson, it's just me. I was like, dude, you deserve to die. I was like, you deserve to die. I hope you get killed in this film. Plain and simple. And he does it like a second time. Like I said, yeah, after that. So he comes up. He comes up, and now we got a situation where I guess he's hugging her, and then a phone drops out of his pocket. Yeah. Which this looked like one of those old, definitely one of those phones that we had back in the day. It was the landline, you know, but you know, it wasn't the cordless joint. Yeah, but yeah. Those phones didn't work too far from your house. Like that's what I remember. So I was like, that wasn't a cell phone, right? That was, I mean, do you agree? Don't you feel like that was a landline? Yeah, I think
it was one of like the old school landlines that he had.
So I just was like, okay, you got that with you. But anyhow, it falls out of his pocket, and that causes suspicion for her. And police arrive, and now she done gave him up, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, if I was her, I would have been like, it's just another dumb, understand how the movie's going. This is just another dumb scene where it's like, how did you think it was him? Like, the killer literally just walked away like 10 seconds ago.
Like, yeah, it's no way he could have been there that fast.
Yeah, he had to undress. He had to undress out of the Ghostface attire and go around the house and climb up.
Right.
So I was like, you know, just from her understanding there. And again, you know, it's tough a little bit to talk on this movie without, you know, giving up everything. But that comes into play later still.
Yep. Sure does. But yeah, man, that happens. And it, like I said, it's a lot, man, that goes on that I kind of noticed throughout this scene. Pretty much we see Deputy Dewey again.
Deputy Dewey.
He shows up as she's running downstairs, you know, to give up her boyfriend Billy. And to me, it's also hard not to talk about the parody movie, which
exactly
it's kind of hard not to, but
exactly
his sister, which was Sydney's best friend, who was Tatum.
Uh-huh.
As they're wrapping up the crime scene and everything, she calls Dewey doofus. You know, it's like you kind of see that he, even how she opened, Sydney opened the door to run for safety, and he's like scared, like with his gun in his hand, like you know, he kind of has a jump scare himself. It's kind of like, man, this dude, they're trying to paint this dude as not being
not too bright.
Cop, I guess, in a way. And with her calling him doofus, I was trying to think because I haven't looked it up. It wasn't that the actual name of the dude.
I'm not for sure, but it may have been.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, you immediately, yeah, if you ever seen Scary Movie, you immediately get, I'm like, yeah, that made sense that they parodied him that way. As far as his character goes.
That's why when you said it's a lot of comedy, and it's like, I definitely see what you mean, bro. Like,
this
was easy to make fun of. Easy.
It was. My question is, when she runs downstairs and opens the door, Dewey's like holding the mask to the door.
Yeah.
And I got more questions about Dewey. Who gave Dewey a gun, man? Who decided that they was gonna give Dewey a gun? Because all throughout this movie, he is holding this gun just in people's faces, just yeah. Like he ain't got no type of gun safety about him. I'm like, who signed him to the force? Like who put him up there? What police force was this that employed Dewey?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. It had to be some kind of small town, bro, that was low on officers or something.
I guess, man. Yeah.
But yeah, man. So we see Dewey again. We kind of learn a little bit more about him, and how he's treated as well within like some of the community. And we also learn about Gail Weathers, who was the reporter in this film. And we kind of saw early in the film, a little bit earlier, that Sydney kind of had some kind of issues with her. And in this scene, we kind of see that Gail is a little bit all about a story. Like, she doesn't really care who's in the way or who she has to talk about. As long as she gets that story out there, that's really all the main thing she cares about.
Yeah, she's definitely one of those, you know, like you said, get the story. Doesn't matter. Step on the little people, whoever you got to offend. But I like how they play her character, though, and how she, you know, the pivotal role kind of that she plays, you know, again, yeah. There's a lot of deception in this movie, a lot of misdirection, you know, on who you think is going to be a enemy and a friend. So, right. Yeah, I liked it, though.
Yep. So getting into the next note, that kind of leads us into it in a way.
Yeah.
Get on the beef with Sydney and Gail. So like I had said, Sydney kind of has some disdain towards Gail. You kind of see, you know, giving dirty looks and not really wanting to talk to her and things like that. And the movie reveals why they don't like each other, because I guess apparently Gail, in a way, doesn't really like Sydney either. So we find out that Gail wrote a book claiming that Sydney lied about who killed her mother.
Mm-hmm.
So Gail calls Sydney a liar in her book. It's talking about her mother's murder and basically saying the wrong guy's in jail and that she framed, you know, he got framed pretty much. So, you know, Sydney, she doesn't like that, of course. I mean, it's dealing with a touchy subject, you know, the killing of her mother. You know, she thought she saw what she saw. But for Gail, she feels like the evidence wasn't there. So that was just something, a piece of the movie that kind of gives you a little background, a backstory of why they don't really like each other. So it's pretty much it on that note.
Yeah. And I just wanted to hit on all the reporters, man, of this movie. That this was some next level, like, I don't care, I'm gonna say what I gotta say. Like, really, I'm not gonna get on all of it. I just wanna hit on one reporter who says something. What did she say? She's talking to Sydney and she's like, how does it feel to be almost brutally murdered or something like that? And and she's like, the public deserves to know. And I'm like, no, they don't. Like, who would say that? Like, right, and she was looking like really, you know, like irritated, like, hey, this is our right to know this.
And he was like, treating her like she was the killer.
Yeah. I mean, she was treating her like she was trying to get something out of one of these guys who get got for embezzlement or something like that. You conned them for millions of dollars or something. That's how she was approaching Sydney, as if Sydney had to tell her the experience of almost getting killed. I just was like, wow.
There was no subtleness in that at all.
Not at all. Crazy.
Yeah. So let me ask you, though, before we move on. Do you think that was kind of a 90s thing? I don't know. I mean, I was young. I mean, throughout the 90s, so I didn't watch a lot of news. But do you think that could have been like a 90s thing, the way reporters did their thing? Like more.
Maybe, man. It could be. I mean, I know
PG back then either. So
I know talk shows and stuff were more real back then. So maybe reporting and stuff like that was about the same. Maybe they, you know, people really went hard for that story. So yeah, maybe.
Because you got to think too. It was like it's a lot easier for reporters nowadays with social media and things like that. You can get your story out there a little easier. Mm-hmm. Back then, I'm sure they had to cut a lot of corners and damage a lot of names, you know, to really make names for themselves, you know. So that could have been a play of, you know, of reporting in the 90s. Who knows?
Could have been.
But yeah, man, let's move on. The next thing, man, for me, I kind of looked at it like, man, this is I really don't know what's happening right now, because the principal of the school, Ghostface, ends up killing the principal. Before he dies, though, he has the mask and he's playing in the mirror with the mask, which was another thing of like, I'm sitting there like, man, is this like another, they're trying to, I mean, it's bad, like it's not really that obvious, but it was like they're trying to misdirect you in a way to me. But the overall feeling of that scene, I was asking myself, and I'm gonna ask you the question: like, was that a necessary kill, like for him to kill the principal? It's not like the principal knew any information, you know. I don't know if maybe he thought he knew something and he had to kill him, but
look,
I felt like it was an unnecessary kill.
It was necessary because it was the fact that he disrespected the Ghostface mask, I guess. I don't know. I'm trying to come up with something.
But how would he know that unless he, like, how would he know the principal was going to disrespect the mask?
I mean, I guess he didn't know until he did it. Because we got to set up.
He was already in the room, though, right? He was in the room. Like, as, you know.
Yeah, Ghostface is pretty omnipresent in this movie, which the fact that you even bring that up, bruh, because I think this is happening like simultaneously. Like it is. The principal's at the school, but didn't school get released?
Like, yeah, they announced the curfew for the city and they had dismissed school until further notice, pretty much.
So, but this was simultaneous, right? Like they're heading home. Like Sydney, I think, is like heading home, or like I think she's walking home.
Yeah,
and they're also dealing with the principal at the school, because something happened where, people were dressed up at the school as Ghostface,
right.
That's why the principal has these two guys, I guess, in his office, and he's like berating them. And he has the mask with him. But
speaking of that, before you go on with your point on that,
mm-hmm.
Ghostface also makes an appearance in the school as well. When Sydney's in the bathroom, he was in a stall, kind of lowers his little gown or whatever it is.
Like I said,
he's all over the place.
Ghostface is omnipresent everywhere. Everywhere you are, there is Ghostface. Yeah, like you said, how
exactly?
We come to find out some things, but even with what we know, still how? I'm still asking how, because she's in the bathroom, in the women's bathroom, and it's like, was did he was he really just sitting there the whole time? Like, this is what this is why it's so funny, bro. This is why the movie is so parodied and so funny to think about. You got to think about what this dude is doing. Like, when you not seeing him. Like, if you could just picture Ghostface chilling on top of the toilet without his, you know, not feet not touching the ground, trying to hide.
Right. If you can picture, he probably got a crouch like close to like scrunched together.
Exactly. People coming in the bathroom because there were some girls that were talking trash about City in that bathroom first.
They was already in the bathroom.
Exactly. So he's probably in the other stall snickering, you know, hearing some stuff, and they're snickering in the mask. You just gotta get a visual of all the stuff on the phone with Sydney in the closet. You gotta picture him literally in the closet talking. You know, trying to whisper, or not even whispering, but talking. There's another bruh. So while he's there, and like you said, he winds up coming out and attacking Sydney there.
And it was a lot of, like, the way that she got away, I feel like it was a lot of scenes like this where the person, like, slides right under, like a, you know, almost Matrix type of move, slides underneath. He just missed him with the knife. Like, I felt like that was like a go-to move for them.
See, that brings up, you know, I was going to save it for later, but that just brings up Ghostface fighting skills.
You gotta get into that.
That just brings that up. Like, what was going on? Everybody was kind of anybody he fought was kind of giving him work at first.
Yeah.
This dude was getting hit by everything. Doors, dresser drawers. Like, it was just so easy. And I guess that goes into what you were saying about the most realistic slasher, because I think that to some degree that's how it would be. Like, nobody would just get dealt with. But yeah, this dude, he ain't really have any fighting skills, I guess.
Not at all. He was definitely dependent on that knife, for sure.
Very clumsy. But yeah, he attacks her there. And again, I know the school winds up getting let out due to the events. Like, I guess school is canceled for, I don't know, however, a week. But now this was some Scooby-Doo level stuff. We already said about how, you know, we already said about how Ghostface is appearing everywhere.
Right.
So they're walking home, and they stop to a convenience store. Sydney and her best friend, I forget her name.
Tatum.
You said Tatum?
Yeah, Tatum.
Yeah. Sydney and Tatum, they're in the store. And as they walk past one aisle, you notice that Ghostface is there. Like, you know, you can see his.
Yeah.
So again, it's just like you got to get the visual in your head of him like crawling in between the aisles, not being seen. That's why this movie is so silly to be.
Grocery store though, like, it's like, man, really?
Yeah,
really
dressed up
there without being seen,
dressed up as the killer of these people. Like, who would let somebody in their establishment dressed up as the killer of somebody in your town?
Exactly, man. The more we talk about this film, the more I'm like, hey, yeah, you gotta make a parody.
That's what I'm saying. You know, I just, yeah, it was like I said, it was very ripe for a parody. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So yeah, the fighting skills though, he definitely was dependent on that knife, man. If he didn't have that knife, a lot of people would have survived. If he was just dependent on his hands.
If just the people weren't so stupid, you know, and some of the things that they did, they definitely could have dealt with him.
With the knife, they could have got away certain scenes.
I want to go back 1 second though, bruh, and talk a little more about the principal, because there was just two things that just bothered me so bad.
Okay.
Again, before the principal gets killed, you know, jump scares are just all rampant through this movie.
Right.
So they do one jump scare where he's looking around because I think somebody's doing what they doing, ding dong ditch with the door. You know, they were knocking on it.
Yeah.
And running away, I guess. Again, you got a picture of Ghostface doing that, or maybe he wasn't clothed at that time, so I won't call him Ghostface if he's not in the clothes.
But either way, as big as those halls were, it wasn't nowhere.
There was no time. if anyone's ever tried this, you know, in that short amount of time, somebody's going to hear where what corner you just turned. And somebody's going to hear the corner that you just turned. So they do it. They knock on the door. But the thing that was bothering me was he winds up looking in the mirror and like flinches at his reflection as a jump scare. And then yeah. I think they knock on the door again and he comes back and flinches like a second time at his.
Well, I think the reason, even though it's still crazy, but I think the reason he jump scared in the mirror is because he had the mask in his hand and he turned in the mirror with the mask or something.
But no. So he turned with it and he knows he has it in his hand. So, and he looked at the mask in his hand and was like, oh. But okay, even if I buy that, bro, he jump scared twice at his reflection in the mirror. So there's no excuse. There's no excuse for that. And at that point, I put him on my deserve to die list. when he flinched twice, I was like, you know what? If you flinch at your own reflection two times in 30 seconds, you deserve to die.
Yeah, I was looking at it like unnecessary, man. But I was like, man, so. Ghostface is really out here just killing anybody now. That's kind of how I was looking at it. But, you know, you got your deserves to die list. You got your reasons for it. But let's get into the finale, man. Let's talk about the party, which to start this off, right? I don't know if you even thought about this. How were they able to have this? Everybody was there. So how were they able to have this humongous party when a curfew was just put in place for the town?
I don't. Yeah, that's a good question.
That's the only thing I was thinking about at first. I was like, that makes no sense. Like, even writing this film, you gotta. That's something that I feel like that's something we would think about. Like, that's a hole right there.
Well, it's a small town. I mean, maybe they ain't have enough police force. But first off, who would be in the mood to party?
Right
after, right. after a vicious murder. Where a girl got disemboweled and hung, like who would even be in a fun mood? Who would want to come out their house at this time?
Away. Yeah. But I mean, everybody is there, man. However, they ended up being able to have this party. Everybody shows up. All the man cast that hadn't been killed yet, up until this point. We see Gail, she's there, Dewey's there as well. We kind of see her at work again. She's kind of using Dewey at that point in the film. She's using Dewey to kind of get into the party. And she sneaks a little camera inside, you know, she's still on her trying to get a story by all means. So,
let me talk about that. Cause I was bothered by this too. This is like a team party. And how is she there? Obviously, she's a grown adult.
Right.
Dewey's there. I mean, I guess the relation is, you know, that's Tatum was his sister, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I guess for
protection.
I guess I can buy that. But at first I was like, yo, how is he there? She's and the reporter's there at this high school party. I'm like, nobody was going to say nothing. Nobody was like, what are you doing here? But I guess at least
Dewey has an excuse of being there for protection, but you had to know Gail had to be there for other reasons.
Yeah, I mean, also everybody was kind of like blown away because, you know, she's a reporter and they're like, oh, I watched your show, you know. I guess she got a segment.
Kind of starstruck in a way.
Yeah, so I guess they didn't really question it too much, but
there's
a lot that goes down at this party though, man. But,
yeah,
you know, we try to run through it real quick, but it's
so
a lot.
Tatum, Sydney's best friend, she's the first to get killed. She goes down for some beers and the way she died was kind of, I was like, man, really? You know, I wouldn't call this a classic death scene, but I mean, she tries to escape through the cat hole from the garage. And this is scary. I mean, not scary, but this is funny in itself. Ghostface decides to let the garage door up to kill her.
Well, firstly, he's getting worked over by her as well, as far as fighting goes.
Yeah, she was whooping him.
And yeah, for some dumb reason, you know, again, another person who deserved to die, you know, she decides to try to, yeah, like the killer is, I don't know. I might pull back on that one. I might pull back on that one because
I think she thought it was maybe Randy.
I mean, yeah, but maybe she felt like she could fit real quick. Maybe she thought she was skinny enough. And if you're trying to get away, I guess you would do it.
But, I mean, it might have been just like you were saying. I mean, it's a little more obvious that you can jump out of a window, but maybe that was her reaction of, I got to get away by any means. Like,
I don't know. It was definitely one of those silly scenes.
She ends up getting killed, and I mean, she had to be stuck there for a minute. Nobody notices that she's dead until the very end of the film, pretty much, before they start leaving the house. And you know, we go a little deeper into it, man. And it was another misdirection. The misdirections just didn't hit. The only one that hit was the dad. They basically was trying to misdirect you to think the dad was the killer as well. And Dewey and Gail goes on a walk, and they end up finding the dad's car parked in the woods. So they're automatically assuming, they run back to the house because they're automatically assuming he's the killer at that point.
Yeah. Again, yeah, they're doing the deception.
Yeah.
sorry about that, man. We haven't really talked about the two friends, bruh. And I forget their names as well. I mean, we had the boyfriend, Billy.
Mm-hmm.
And what was Jamie Kennedy's character again?
Randy. He was Randy.
Randy. Now, who was the other guy?
Stuart.
Stuart. Okay. Yeah. There, you come to find out that Jamie Kennedy's character, I know you just told me, but that's how forgettable those names were.
Randy.
Yeah. Yeah. You come to find out Randy, yeah, he's definitely into the film. He's into films a lot.
Yeah.
And he's always talking about them. He's that type of guy. Kind of like how we do. So that's another misdirection where you're thinking like, oh man, you know, he knows he knows the ins and outs of horror and stuff so much. And he's even talking about it at, you know, at the party. So again, there was a lot of, they tried a lot of misdirection in this film. They really did.
So just to kind of speed it up a tad bit, man, we, getting to towards the end, man, and Billy, which is Sydney's boyfriend, Ghostface is here now, basically, and they're in the room together, and Ghostface basically kills Billy, or so we think. You know, he kills Billy, and Sydney is now, again, just like earlier in the film, fighting against Ghostface, trying to get away. Now it's pretty much all out fight for survival, you know, for everybody, pretty much. And she ends up exiting the house. She gets away. Randy, played by Jamie Kennedy, is the only one left in the house. And you think he's going to get killed, but pretty much it was a misdirection of the camera guy that was with Gail. He was going to save Sydney, but the camera was on a delay that they were watching in the party. So Ghostface ends up killing the cameraman. It was a lot. It's really a lot to happen within this party scene.
I just feel that everybody who died deserved it. Like, I just feel like everybody who died deserved to die. Like,
you know, yeah, let's wrap this thing up. Everybody deserved to die. Yeah. That's it.
That was pretty much it, man. I mean,
but I mean, you know, Dewey ends up getting stabbed in the back. We don't know if he's dead or not. And pretty much, man, Stewart, played by Matthew Lillard, and Randy, played by Jamie Kennedy, Sydney's back at the house now, and they both run up to Sydney. And Stewart is saying that it's Randy that's the killer, and Randy is saying that it's Stewart that's the killer. So Sydney has to decide on who she's going to let in the house. I believe she lets in Randy, right?
I think so.
I think she lets in Randy, and that's when we find out Billy, her boyfriend, was still alive. He comes stumbling down the steps, blood all over his shirt. And pretty much, man, not long after that, we find out that he's the killer. He takes the gun and shoots Randy with the gun.
Hold on, he's more than half of the killer.
Well, yeah, at that point, yeah, we don't know that it's, you know. So they reveal later on, you know, in the same scene, they reveal that Stuart, the other friend, is also a part of this killing. So it was a two-person killer within this film. And that explains a lot of why he was all over the place, how he was able to be all over the place so much. It's because they had two people that were the killers.
Yeah, and they had a little voice machine or whatever that did that scary voice.
Yeah, they revealed the motive of because it turned out they also were the ones that killed her mother, and the reason behind it was because Sydney's mom was having an affair with Billy's dad, so and which caused his mom to leave his life. So that was pretty much his motive behind doing what he's.
I'm not gonna lie, I missed that part, bro. I didn't even catch that. It was because his mom had an affair with his dad. I missed that, but
yeah. So pretty much, we find out Gail was right. Sydney had pretty much labeled the wrong killer the whole time, and Billy and Stuart, man, were the killers. Pretty much, it's another tussle towards the end. Sydney kills, or I think what's his name, Stuart, dies because of the stab wounds. They were stabbing each other back and forth, trying to make it look like they were the innocent ones. Pretty much Sydney kills Stuart at the end, and Gail comes in handy when she shoots Billy, the boyfriend. She shoots him, so you know, it was kind of like I guess a saving point for her character to make her not look as bad as she looked throughout the film.
Yeah. But again, at this point, I just didn't even care no more. I just was like,
yeah. And you know, I think it's because that scene was the party scene was 45 minutes long. So yeah, it was
pretty long.
A big chunk of this film.
Like, I was just like, all right, get this thing over with. I'm not even worried. Like, whoever the killer is, I don't care. But yeah, you know, he gets the executed headshot.
Which
I don't know.
And that was another meta moment, because Jamie Kennedy's character was like, and this is the point where the killer comes back for one more scare, and he jumps up and gets shot in the head.
I'm sorry. I didn't like this movie. I didn't like this movie.
That's pretty much it for you guys tuning in this week for this episode of Scream, 1996 Scream. Just a rundown before we get into the rewind rating, just to run down some facts, fun facts about the film really quick. They won some awards. They won a MTV Movie Award for Best Movie and Best Female Performance, which I feel like was held higher standards back in the day. I feel like MTV Movie Awards don't really matter as much nowadays, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
For some fun facts, Ben Affleck, he was an audition for the role of Billy, but didn't get it. They call the last party scene that we were just talking about is known as the longest night in horror history. It was a 45-minute party scene, and it took 21 days to shoot from sunup to sundown. So the whole cast was elated when they finished that. The original title, which for anybody that doesn't know, was Scary Movie. And this was actually partially inspired by a real life story. By a killer was known by the Gainesville Ripper. He did a series of student murders in 1990, and the creators of this film kind of took some inspiration from that. So that's pretty much it for the fun facts. What's your get into the ratings, man, if you don't have anything else.
I'm going one rewind, man. This movie sucked. Again, all the Scoop. Yeah, I went down to a one. All the Scooby-Doo level deception that was going on. Again, Ghostface being everywhere. Even with you knowing, I mean, finding out that there's two killers. Even still, just the silliness of thinking of him crawling in the convenience store, of him hiding in the closet, you know, of him being on top of that toilet is a lot of silly stuff. A lot of people did stuff that that got themselves killed, and you deserved it. So yeah, I don't think I'll be watching this movie anytime soon. You know, again, that'll probably be my last time. That's what I got. What you got?
Okay, for me, man, I gotta give it a 2.5, and I give it that just because it still has some nostalgic factors to it, and I gotta give a film some points for that. What hurt it was movies like this, after rewatching them, like after seeing them before, you know who the killer is, so an aspect of the film is ruined in a way.
Yeah.
But I had to give it a 2.5 as well because so much spawned from this movie, you know, so as far as other films. So that's mine, a 2.5.
Okay, hey, there you have it. You like this movie a little bit more than me. I thought this thing was absolutely atrocious. We're going to go to the trailer, man, for the next movie. We appreciate y'all, you know, listening with us, man. Keep tuning in, please. But we're going to give y'all the trailer for the next movie, which is Scary Movie from the year 2000. We had to pair these two movies together. We said, hey, let's go back to back.
That's necessary.
Yeah, that's what we got for y'all, though, man. Thank you again. Peace.
Peace.
This.
Do you like scary movies?
You thought the terror was over. If you believe the nightmare was finished.
Ow! Ow!
You were right. From the people who had nothing to do with Scream.
Has it crossed your mind that your boyfriend was murdered and you're next?
No way!
They didn't make the rules.
Oh my God, he's dead!
They're just too stupid to follow them.
We have to call the police.
No way! I ain't going to jail.
It's okay, I'm fine.
We'll get rid of the body.
I'ma tell y'all the rules to survive this situation. Rule number one.
Don't answer the phone.
I'm in the house.
Do you know where I am?
You're behind the couch. I can see your feet.
What?
Don't talk to reporters.
The press only wants to interview the most ignorant person they can find.
Oh, geez. First cops, now this?
And whatever you do, don't be afraid to rise to the occasion.
Yeah!
Scary Movie.
This is awesome.